I enjoyed the Sunday school lesson this morning, and actually there were some things said that kind of helped me out for this message today as far as my own feelings. You can be turning, if you'd like, to the ninth chapter of 2 Corinthians. Ninth chapter of 2 Corinthians. Preachers have obligations to preach the whole Word of God. The Apostle Paul, when he met with the preachers that came down from Ephesus to Miletus to meet with him the last time he was seeing them, he told them he had not shunned to preach to them the whole counsel of God. And that's the responsibility of pastors to the church. Some things are more pleasant to preach about than other things. This is not an unpleasant subject, but it's just something that preachers tend to shy away from a little bit. And the reason being, or at least my understanding of it from observations of hearing preachers talk about it, that they don't want, and certainly I don't want to have the impression that I'm preaching anything for my benefit. But there is a responsibility on the part of God's people, and we have to teach those responsibilities. And actually, the thoughts that I have concerning this are, at least in my thinking, are positive for this church. I have seen churches that it was not so positive for, because they were not doing what they should. So take the message as a whole for you as individuals, but as for the church as a whole, it is certainly a profitable thing that I believe the church does. Rather than rambling on, I'm just going to read some scripture and make some comments as we go. And actually, there's two places that I want to read from, but I'm going to read here first and make a few comments here before we go to the other place. But in the ninth chapter of 2 Corinthians, and if those of you familiar with 1 and 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians was pretty much the Apostle Paul telling the church of Corinth about some things they needed to get corrected. The second letter was acknowledging a lot of the corrections that they made and was encouraging them in the service of the Lord. And this starts out, I'm not going to read all of this, but it starts out, says, as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. That means it's not really a whole lot of reason why I need to write, because you're doing a good job of it. But he has some things that he does want to say about how that they minister to the saints. And give you just a little bit of background, what was happening, especially at Jerusalem. There was a lot of problems there, and the church at Jerusalem was under heavy persecution. And the Apostle Paul was trying to get offerings that came from the churches out in the various areas to send to Jerusalem to help them in their needs. And the church at Corinth had made a pledge, basically, and he'll talk about that in just a moment, or he'll write about it. So he was sending some people to take their offerings, but he was saying you need to gather them before we get there, so that we won't have to go through that process once that that we get there. And I want to start in the sixth verse reading. He says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of a necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor. His righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower. Both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth that or supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. I had some poor reading in there, but barring those reading mistakes, that's the 6th through the 15th verses of the 9th chapter of 2 Corinthians for a reading lesson. There are two or three things that we want to just mention here before I go on to another scripture that I want to read a short passage on. We want to note the Apostle Paul in telling them that if you sow a little bit, you're only going to get a little bit. If you sow a lot, you're going to get a lot. Our youngest son had a garden for the first time. My wife called it a postage stamp garden. He had three tomato plants and about six pepper plants and four okra plants, and that was it. But he got quite a bit out of that little spot that he had the first time he ever tried anything like that, which will encourage him, I'm sure, to do more, because he even got into canning several things there. I talked with people that had one-acre gardens that had so much stuff as all they could do to get it picked and given away or whatever they do with it. And so the more you sow, the more you're liable to get. Paul was just using that same thing, and Jesus used it on several occasions in his teachings about sowers and the seeds and what kind of results that they got. But Paul was just saying that if you give a little bit, you'll get some results, but if you give more, you'll get more results and benefits from blessings and some other things. We'll see some things he's talking about here in just a moment. But he said, every man according as he purposed in his heart. Now, I have heard preachers in days gone by, and I've heard people try to use this for reasoning, that you decide yourself what you're going to give to the Lord's cause. You decide how much you're going to give. And in the case that we do it here, you take up for the preacher, you take up for the church. You have a missions offering box. You have other special things that probably offerings are taken up at different times. And people will decide how much they're going to put into each one of those, if any of them. But here he wasn't talking about what you give on a weekly basis, normal basis. This was a special offering that was being taken up to send to Jerusalem. And so they had purposed, or they had set a goal, or they had said, all right, I will give this much. And so they were sending some men down to collect those things. So he said it ought to be already collected so they don't have to go around individually to people. The church should already collect it and have it ready so that they can go ahead and take that to Jerusalem for the benefit of the saints there, ministering to the saints, helping them out. We help people out in various ways in our giving, in our opportunity to share the abundance that God has given us, whatever that might be. And different people have different ways of doing that. Some people believe in tithing. Tithing was taught in the Old Testament. Actually, there was three tithes taught. 30% was given. Because some went to the government, some went to the Levites, some for the community causes, whatever. But anyway, there was three tithes that was given. And those were mandatory tithes that they had to give. For like our income tax. A lot of us will, pay in a 25%, 30%, 40% tax bracket, depending on how that our income is and so forth. But they had responsibilities under that. Under the New Testament, we don't have those legalistic responsibilities. However, I think tithing is still a good practice for us to have. Baptists have never taught tithing as something that they have to do or a person has to do as a member of the church. I think it's a good thing. I remember many years ago hearing Brother Kenneth Massey make the statement that if people were giving like they ought to, they'd give more than a tithe anyway. because we're taught in the book of Malachi, and I'm not going to get into tithing so much, but he talks about giving tithes and offerings, that tithes are the things that we ought to give first, the first part of our profits to the Lord, that should go to his cause. Now, however we divide those up is another thing. But as a church member, I think we have responsibility to the church first, and then we can give out to other things. And that's one thing that I will commend to you, and I'll say more about that in a few moments, about how well that you have supported so many different things in the past, as I've learned thus far in the time that I've been here. But he said, as he purposed in his heart, so let him give. And then sometimes say, well, I'll pledge to give so much, or I'll give this. And then they get to thinking about it, well, that's a big chunk of my money, or I need that money for something else, or I need whatever it is that I've chosen to give, that might not be as much as I'd like to, or in some cases might be more than I ought to have given. But he said, give that which you purpose in your heart, not grudgingly or for necessity, but because God loveth a cheerful giver. In other words, don't give it just for the sake of being given, or for somebody to see it. You know, I see these telethons that they do, and these big companies give large amounts of money, and they make a big deal about giving. And, of course, that's kind of an advertisement for them to show their charitability and so forth. But as we give as Christians, it's not, our right hand shouldn't even know what the left hand's doing about our giving as far as that goes. We're to give out of a cheerful heart to the Lord. As we give ourselves to come to church, we give ourselves to visit somebody that's sick, we give ourselves to go talk to a lost person, we give of ourselves our time and our effort and what we have to give for the service of the Lord, and we ought to do that cheerfully. We ought to do it because we want to, because God loves us, because God cares for us, because God has done for us far more than we can do for anybody else or even for him, that we ought to give cheerfully. The Bible also teaches us that it's more blessed to give than receive. And most of us have probably in some way or another experienced that. When we get something and we like getting things, and most of us do, and appreciate that when somebody gives us something. But it actually makes us feel better when we're able to give something to somebody else. And when we're able to distribute more. And that's because that we have something that God has allowed us to have, and we can take a portion of that and be a blessing to somebody else, or to some charity, or to the church, or whatever it might be. And it actually is more satisfying when we give out of a loving heart, being a cheerful giver, than it is when we receive. Because usually when we receive, it's because we're in need of help, which is appreciated if that's the case, or if it's just out of a loving gift that somebody gives, we appreciate that. But it actually makes us feel better when we're able to give to somebody else, or to give to something that will benefit somebody else in some way or another. And so he said we should be a cheerful giver, because God loves that. Because God lovingly gave us his son, that he died for us that we might have eternal life. God loved the world so much, the Bible tells us, that he was willing to do that. And so when we have something that we can share with somebody else, and some of you have probably experienced it, you may even having something that you enjoy, that you like, that somebody else has a liking for, that you give to them because you would like for them to have the joy that you've had from it, even though it might deprive yourself. But the joy of giving that becomes greater sometimes than us having it for ourselves, because it's showing a selfless consideration to make somebody else more cheerful in their life. And so God loves us being cheerful givers and giving out of love. I've heard the term used sometimes that you ought to give till it hurts. Well, that's not the way it's supposed to be at all. You ought to give till it feels good. That we feel good about giving and sharing that which God has blessed us with. And as far as the giving to the church and for the ministry and things like that, he addresses that here. And I'm not going to go into a lot of detail, but I do want to touch on some of this. He says, as it's written, and this goes back to the Psalms where this was written, that he has dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, the righteousness remaineth forever. Now, that's something that God has done. that he has given us things that is going to last forever. Certainly our salvation is going to last forever. It's going to take us into eternity forever to be with God. But now he that ministereth seeds to the sower. Now the sower here, and this was made mention of in Sunday school today, as being the preacher that God has called to share the gospel with the world. And one person can't take it to all the world, even though that we have means today through the recorded message and through the digital technology to get things around the world. But still, there are people that are called by God to carry the gospel to the world. And so those who provide for the ones that have been given that responsibility multiply their own seeds because the preacher can take the message of God that you believe in your heart, that you want others to have, but that you don't have either responsibility or opportunity to reach out to. They can take that to a greater portion of the world. They can take it to more places than you could go individually. And so by supporting them in doing that, it is increasing your seed or the benefits of your seed going out. As it multiplies your seed that are sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. It increases the goodness that you have and that you desire to share with others because it takes it out to more people. And those seed goes out to more people and somebody else will gain from it and they'll take it to somebody else. And then those will take it to somebody else and it just keeps on going. That's the way that the gospel has been propagated throughout the time because Jesus left the gospel with the church to be carried to the whole world. And he started out with 12 disciples and one of them was, I refer to it as a dud sometimes, and I don't mean to be humorous about that because it certainly wasn't a humorous thing for him. But still, there was no profit in what he had to do. But the others carried the gospel to different parts of the world. And all but John, as far as we know, were martyred because of their belief and their efforts of going into the world. The gospel, though, had gone and other people got saved and other people were called to preach. And then they took the gospel somewhere and they took the gospel somewhere and it spread right on down to us today so that the gospel is still going out. And there is still a responsibility for the support of the ministry so that the gospel will continue to go out. I say that not in the idea that I want more money. That's not the thing at all. Matter of fact, I won't even go into my feelings, but that's not the purpose. And that's why that some preachers have difficulty preaching about this because they don't want to be seen as wanting people to give them money. But this is the gospel way of it being distributed, that the gospel has to be supported in some fashion or another. And we're taught in other scriptures that we'll not go into of the responsibility of the church to support the ministry. He said, being enriched in everything, in all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. He said, in other words, the bounty that comes to us causes us to give thanksgiving to God because then we can take it and take it out into other places. In this case, it was to take some finances to Jerusalem to help support the saints there that was in dire need at the time. And one other thing I want to get out of this real quickly before I go to another passage is while by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. Now he's saying the people at Jerusalem will call you blessed and they will ask God's blessings on you because that you have shown, or to the Corinthians here anyway, because they have shown their love for their brethren. They didn't know those people in Jerusalem, but they were people that were struggling, that were children of God, and so they were sending of their abundance to them to help them out, and so therefore they would glorify God for the professed, as they said, the professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ. And that's how that we ought to love one another, that we ought to share with one another, that we ought to give of ourselves to help our neighbors. As it was mentioned in Sunday school, that do unto others you'd have them do unto you. That if you was in dire need, you'd want somebody to help you out, and you'd appreciate that. And so the same thing goes for others that are in need. They appreciate it when it comes from your heart to them to help support them, and especially if it's of the household of faith. Those are the ones primarily that we have the responsibility to support, are those of the household of faith, because that we have a common bond with them. Sure, it's good to help somebody that might not be saved, because that might be a doorway to open up to get to talk to them about Jesus. But we have the primary responsibility to help those of our own, and being of our own is being of the Lord, that we support them. And the closing statement that he made here is, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Now, often that scripture is used just to mean about salvation, the unspeakable gift. There's no way that we can express it. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. That we have a lack of vocabulary to express what God has done for us. So if he has given us something that we cannot obtain on our own, then he's just saying that as God has given to us, so we ought to give to others. Because we're giving not to get something back from somebody, but we're giving to help them in their time of need, something that they can't provide for themselves. And so we're assisting them in that. Unfortunately, our society has gotten to where we rely on the government to do that. It ought to be God's people that is helping others and sharing with them. But that has been taken away for a great part because of government subsidies to help various people. And so the churches sit back and let that occur. And then we lose influence on those that we could be helping out of our love and the generosity that we have toward them. The writing of the Apostle Paul then to the church at Philippi, the Philippian letter, in the fourth chapter, he talks about some of these same issues. He says in the 13th verse, or starting with the 13th verse, toward the close of this letter, he says something that is probably known to most of us, or a statement that's known. He says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now, we use that passage of Scripture, that verse of Scripture, to say that, you know, everything is, we're able to accomplish everything that we do because of Christ. He can help us and strengthen us. Now, some people will misuse that, and I think this is why Paul puts it there, in context of what he's going to say next. Will use that to say, well, you know, if Jesus is going to help you do everything, I don't need to. I don't need to help out. But it's the Christian ethic and moral that we have to help, to share with others. So even though that Christ can give us the strength and provide for us what we need, he's not going to shell out the money. He's not going to give us all things, but he can influence others to help us. He can influence others to do the things that we need to go along with our efforts to be able to accomplish those things. And so actually through him all things are possible, because he can make it occur in one fashion or another. But he says, notwithstanding. He said, don't just take that and say, all right, I'm going to rely on the Lord and not expect anything from anybody else. That there is a responsibility. We talked about that a little bit in Sunday school this morning, too. There is a responsibility on the part of God's people to help others that are in need. And so he says, notwithstanding, ye have well done. And he was giving compliments to the church at Philippi, just as I do to this church. Thou hast well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now, the Apostle Paul was in Roman jail. He was in a hired house at this particular time that he was there, but he was under house arrest, basically, is what it was. And he had needs, and he said, you responded to that. You communicated with me. And communication there doesn't mean they didn't just write a nice letter. They sent finances to help support his circumstance there. And so he said, you communicated with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Now the beginning of the gospel, he saw when he came into Asia Minor to begin preaching the gospel. Because he had the Macedonian call where he came over there, and then he went to Philippi, and that's where he was jailed was in prison and singing the midnight hour and the earthquake, and their bonds were loosed, and The jailer came in. Most of you know the story. And the jailer got saved, and his house got saved, and they were baptized into the church. And so he began there. That was the beginning of the gospel in that area. And that's what he was talking about. He said, nobody but you at Philippi communicated with me about the needs that I had of giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again into my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound unto your account. Now that is what I think every preacher that is a true God-called preacher that has the cause of God in mind wants to be able to do with finances that support them. Is to be able to be the servant that they need to be, reaching out to more people, that more people might be saved. And because of the support that is given to the preacher, whether it be a pastor or evangelist or it be a missionary or whatever it might be that they are doing in their particular work, it could be radio work or television work or whatever, that they desire to reach out and see people saved. And that goes to your recognition because you have supported that and made it available for that person or that group of people to be able to go out and to reach a population that you couldn't get to. And so he said that the I desire fruit that may abound to your account. The fruit being souls being saved. And God gets the glory for all of it, just as he I wrote to the Corinthians that I planted, Apollos watered, but God gives increase. You know, we all have a part to do, but God is the ultimate one that gives the increase or saves the souls. But we do our part to get the gospel out. And so he said that you, by your support, are able to receive a blessing because the fruit is given to your account. It's accounted to you because you helped to get the message out to someone. So that's what his desire was, that there be fruit or there be results in people being saved that can be attributed to those that help carry the gospel in one fashion or another. You might not be able to go with the preacher. You might not be able to get on the radio or on the television or whatever, but by your supporting the preacher so that he can get there, then that gives credit to your account of righteousness, that you have done something beneficial for God's cause because you have supported it. And he says then, but I have all, or meaning he had received all that they had sent to him, and abound. In other words, I got plenty now. I am full, having received of Epaphrodius the things which we sent from you, or sent from the things which were sent from you, an odor, a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. So he was thanking them for what they had done, what they had sent to him, because he had difficulties, but now he was okay with things. But the 19th verse I want to get to, he says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, this is the payoff in when we give liberally of our heart to support the gospel in whatever fashion that it might be that we give. God has blessings to give bounty back to you multiplied times over. Now, nobody should ever give money in hopes that God is going to give something better back to them. Because that's not giving cheerfully. That's not giving lovingly. But we give out of a heart of love because we want to help. And when we do that, though, God does bless us. He might give satisfaction to our heart. He might give peace. He might give us health. He might give us a bounty of a crop increase. He might give us a better business situation. You know, any number of things can happen in the way that he gives back to us. But we ought to just recognize that God blesses, and we can't outgive God, so that when we give lovingly of our heart and desire to see the cause of Christ progress, then he will see that we have sufficiency of our needs. Now, the one of the examples that the Bible gives us that I mentioned was that Jesus was watching these folks they came in proudly and they had a lot and they gave their tithes, you know, and they put them in the treasury there and they kind of boasted about that. Or maybe some of them didn't even boast, but they gave what they were supposed to give under the law. They had given their tithe to the treasury. And then this little lady comes up, and I'm assuming she's kind of feeble, and she's elderly, and she puts in two mites. Now, if you've never seen a mite, I've got one somewhere boxed up with a lot of other stuff, but I've got one that's a certified mite from Israel, roughly in the times of Christ. But it's about the size of a dime. As a matter of fact, a little bit smaller than a dime. And so it's a very, very small amount of money, even in that day. And she had two of them. And she put that into the treasury. Now, these other people that had untold amounts of money was putting their 10% in, which Jesus was commendable of, that they had done what they were supposed to do. But he said of the woman that she gave more than all the rest of them together. Her little two mites wouldn't even, you know, amount to anything compared to the dollar amounts, as we think of dollars, that was put into the treasury. But he said she gave more than all of them, because she gave from her heart. She gave out of love the last that she had. She gave all she had, basically, as far as money was concerned. I don't know what else she might have had, but she gave all that she had as far as money was concerned. And Jesus said that she gave more than all the rest of them. Why? Because she gave it out of love. She gave it out of love for the cause of God. She gave it out of love to help somebody else. She gave it out of love for the gospel message and the law at that time to be spread to somebody else. But Jesus saw her heart and the intent of her heart. It doesn't tell us what happened to the lady. It doesn't tell us if she got a big bounty. It doesn't tell us if she got all that she needed. But Jesus was pleased with what she had done and recognized what she had done. And I can't help but believe, based upon the teaching of the scriptures, that he blessed her in a great way. Now again, it may not have brought her out of poverty. It may not have given her a lot, but she was no doubt, in my thinking, able to be sustained. Because there are ways that God has of sharing his bounty from heaven upon us at any time, and he can bring things about. And we probably know of instances like that ourselves in life that has happened to us ourselves, that in giving something that we get something back that we totally didn't expect. And God has a way of blessing us beyond our capabilities of receiving. It's just that he's great, and he has all, and I've talked to you about that before, that he has provided for us. David said that he had never, he said, I've been young and I've been old, and he said, I've never seen anybody, one of God's children, begging for bread. Now, that doesn't mean somebody hadn't been hungry. It doesn't mean that there hadn't been circumstances where people had difficulties, but God has a way of providing, and we need to look at it by faith in that. In the 57th division of Psalm, I believe it is, along about the 7th verse, and this is the 57th Psalm is dealing with David's hiding out in the cave because Saul was seeking to have him killed, and he's talking about those that are his enemies seeking after his life. But he makes a statement in the seventh verse there. He says, my heart is fixed. Oh God, my heart is fixed. Now, most of the time when we use that passage of scripture there, it's just part of the verse, we use that talking about our heart is fixed in salvation, that our broken heart and our contrite spirit has been fixed. God has healed it in saving our souls, and that's certainly one of the implications of that. But in context with the scripture that it is placed in, it also indicates that the fixing was that his eyes were set upon the Lord, that his heart was fixed upon the Lord, that he was sure that the Lord was going to help him in that time of difficulty, that God would take care of his enemies, which God did, and that he was sure of what God would do to help him. And so he said, my heart is fixed. And this is how we ought to be in our giving, that our heart ought to be fixed in realization that when we give out of love for the Lord and his cause to help others to carry the gospel, or to help others be supported and to have the things that they need just to get by in life, that when we are giving out of love for the Lord and our heart is fixed upon the Lord to do that, then we can Expect God's blessings upon us. Again, we don't do it for that reason, but it's just what God does, that He blesses His children when they bless others, when they are a help to someone else. He is a help to them. The Bible is full of those kind of teachings, that He is our help in time of trouble. And He will help us. It might not be immediate, something that comes along, but it might be down the road when we need some help from somebody else, and that He moves somebody's heart to help us and to get us by in the times of difficulty that we have. God is a great and loving and a giving God. He is there for our benefit. He's there for our strength. He's there for our well-being. And He expects, because He has made us of His nature. You know, we were made, created in the image of God. And we were given traits that God has. God has that loving, giving nature, and He wants us to have that and share that too. And as a child of God, God's love has been shed abroad in our heart, that we are the children of God. And so that love that's within us ought to be shared with others. And again, that was part of what was talked about in Sunday school this morning, is sharing ourselves with others, because it shows God in us. And when God is shown in us, then He'll just multiply the blessings on us. And then we just have that much more to thank Him for. And we have that much more to give of ourselves anyway. Whether it's more in our love that we can give, more in our finances we can give, more in our time we can give, more in our efforts we can give, more in our willingness to serve Him that we can give. But the more we give to Him out of love, and the more that we give to support His cause, the more that we give to support God's people, then the more that He will bless us in turn. And that is just how God is. And I'm thankful for what I've seen in this church, and the willingness that you have to support the pastor, support the church, support the missionaries we do, to support so many things. And the more that we do to support others, then I believe the more God will do to support us and to bless us and to encourage us and to enrich us. And one of the things that we're looking for, and it's certainly the most important thing as far as I'm concerned, looking for, of course, I have responsibility, as one made mention, to have responsibility to the lost, and have responsibility to the saved, have responsibility to the church. And I want to see the church prosper, but the way that the church will prosper greatest is to see lost souls saved, because God gives us blessings of that. You know, there's a lot of churches that go along and don't see anybody saved for a long time, and some of that might be because they're not doing much to reach out to the community. They're not doing much to reach out to other people. They're self-satisfied and just keeping things at a status quo. But things don't stay at status quo. It don't stay the same. It either improves or it gets worse. As I read one person's comments, a year from now, things will either be worse or better for us. It won't be the same in most instances anyway. Things will increase or things will decrease in our lives. And so if we want things to increase spiritually, then we have to put forth ourselves in a spiritual nature to those that are out and around us. And we need to encourage them to come to hear the gospel so that the seed can be sown. And we have the opportunities in various ways to sow those seeds. Certainly, as your pastor, have obligations and responsibilities and opportunities that you as individuals don't have within the church, but each of you within your sphere of influence of people that you know, family and friends and so forth, have some influence that you can reach out to them. The encouragement that you give to me, the encouragement you give to Brother Bryson and Brother Jones or the folks in Africa or wherever it is, that's a blessing to them, to help them to carry the gospel a little bit further, to reach out to somebody else. And when somebody gets saved, it goes to your account. I think the heavenly account will show that. Those who have given to support the one that's out there doing the preaching, they might get the limelight, if you want to call it that. They might be the front person out there doing the preaching. But if they're doing it for the right reason, they want to hide themselves behind the cross, as I often use. And I got that from Brother Gregory, Brother Robert, that started the church here. I heard him say that many times in his prayers. And I've tried to carry the same feeling. Lord, I just want to hide myself behind the cross and lift up the Christ to the cross. Because I want people to see him, to see Jesus. There's Matt Buffalo Springs. I love it because I don't care what his testimony is. It all comes about around. He says it's all about Jesus. No matter what good things happen, what bad things are going on, what difficulties there are, what blessings are coming, he says it's all about Jesus. And that's right. It's all about Jesus. And we want people to see him. And if they see him, Jesus said, if I'm lifted up, all men be drawn to me. That's our job, is to lift up Jesus. Now, he was lifted up on the cross in crucifixion. That was a necessity. But that's what we show to the world, that he died of necessity for our sins. He willingly gave himself, and if it hadn't occurred, none of us would be saved. And so we want to show that to the world, that he died for our sins. And the way that we have of doing that is by the preaching of the gospel, the sharing of our testimonies, the encouragement to give to other people to preach the gospel and to keep doing the work of the Lord. And when we do that, we'll be blessed for our efforts, because that's the way God is. May God bless you and help us together to sow the seeds of the gospel to the lost. Let's have a song. I want us to have a Christian handshake today. And I want us to share some love with each other. I know you folks love each other. I've seen it. If there's somebody here that's lost, the greatest thing that we have to offer is Jesus. And if there's somebody that's not saved, I want them to see the love of God among us as we fellowship together. Sup, song.
Turn to page number 204. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, then time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair. When the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the
when the road